Tonight, you know, Easter Sunday is an absolutely exciting day to be alive. We live in a dark world, but we have a Savior who shines brighter than ever. And we sometimes get our eyes off of who He is and on who we are and on the world around us. That's pretty discouraging sometimes. We get our eyes on Him, and it's exciting to see what He is going to do. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me tonight to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Looking at a very familiar passage, a couple of verses. We'll actually leave this passage for a little bit and come back to it. Matthew chapter 5. We'll read there in just a moment. Matthew chapter 5. How many of you here are big World War II historians, buffs? How many love World War II? Oh, come on now. Raise your hand. Hi. Okay, good. All right. I just got married a couple months ago, 7 months ago, and my wife knew I was a World War II buff, and then she saw my books, and we still have them in boxes. We still got to get some bookshelves for that, but a lot of books. I love World War II. I just love the how different it was from the Atlantic side to the Pacific side. I love all the different intricacies, the behind the scenes, and seeing what those people thought. It was a phenomenal, not so many times a good thing, but just to see how Satan controlled some of these men, just very interesting to see how world history, by God's grace, could have been so different today. But God changed it. But it's just amazing to see these things. But there's a story in World War II of an aircraft carrier who was out in the North Atlantic. And was engaged in war. And its 6 pilots took off from the carrier. And it was kind of getting close to night. They were out to scout some enemy submarines with the Germans. And while they were gone, the captain of the ship issued an alarm and extinguished every light on board the aircraft carrier. Well, here came the pilots back to the ship. They had done their scouting mission. They came back, and they realized they couldn't find the mother ship. They couldn't find it. They couldn't see it. And it was obviously back before all of the technology we have today. I'm not sure, but probably they could probably land a plane in the dark out there. They could do anything out there in the Navy. But that they had no ability that time, so it was all dark. It was at night. Here they came, and there was no lights. And they radioed the ship, and they said, "Give us light. We're coming home." The radio operator on the ship radioed back, "Order, blackout. I cannot give you light." Another pilot picked up his radio and said, "Just give us some light and we'll make it." Radio operator said, "No light, blackout." The third pilot picked up his radio and said, "Just give us just one light and we'll land." The operator could do no more. He reached over, turned the switch, broke radio contact, and 6 red-blooded aviators in the prime of manhood went down in the cold North Atlantic and out into eternity. All they needed was one light. How should you think it would be tonight? It's a sobering story. Can you imagine that radio operator sitting there wanting to give the order? Or try to allow something to happen so they could turn the lights on to get those 6 men back on board. But he could not do it because the order was blackout. But one light would have saved all 6 of their lives. But instead, they joined the millions that died in that horrible war. You know, it's very much parallel to our lives. We live in a very, very dark world. Everywhere you look, humanly speaking, you see Satan's handiwork. You see the power of the world. You see the power of darkness. You don't see Christ. Where is He? One light. All you need is one light. You know, if we turn the lights off in this room, it'd be kind of dark. We just did a program this morning in our service. We did it Friday night also. And I had several of your people there, Tyler and DeLacy, did a great job. But we did this program, and the lights were out. And I had to get out during the middle of the program and go sing in a group. I think I just about killed myself and wiped my cello out at the same time because I could not see. But you know, one light would have changed the whole thing. One little glow reflector on the stairway would have caused me a little bit of help as I walked around. You know, in this room, if we turned the lights out, it would be dark. But one light would help us all know where to go. Can you think about your one light of your life? with all of the rest in this room? Can you imagine the dark community of Maguanago, Wisconsin, lighting up with the Word of God? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the Chicago area, this state, these surrounding Midwest area, this country of the United States of America, this dark country, turning back to God because of the light of Christ? Can you imagine that tonight? I think I just heard something today about Cardinal Timothy Dolan was on some show. I don't know what it was, and I just saw a little news. I saw a little news blurb about him, and he said something about they were asking him that, you know, about, I'm not sure of it, what the percentage is, but a lot of people in America today say I'm not religious. I'm not, I own no affiliation. He said, well, there's still a lot of religion in America. You know, I'm looking there as a Catholic, and obviously he's providing a lot. He's himself. There's a lot of falsehood in what they teach. But I'm thinking to myself, I'm sitting there. There's a lot of people in this country that have turned away because believers have turned off their lights. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. Matthew 5, verse 14, it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. As we examine this matter of shining our light for Christ, we need to examine a couple of things. First of all, the problem with our light. The problem with our light. You say, hey, Daniel, what are you talking about? There's no problem with my light. Can I say it bluntly tonight? Can I say it bluntly tonight, Pastor Roberts? This is for our church, any church in this area that preaches the Word of God. If we were the light that we should be, we couldn't hold the people that were in that come to this room. Isn't that correct? If there was a light, a city set on a hill, if there was a light in this place that burned so brightly, people would flock to it to see why it was there. Think about that. There's a problem with our light. You know what that problem is? It's twofold. Number one, sin or self. You know, there's a lot of opportunities for sin in this world, isn't there? You know, I think mainly our problem today is technology. You know, I'm a, I don't even know what generation I'm called. What is the generation? Come on, somebody help me. Generation X? I'm 25 years old. Is that what I am? Millennial generation, that's what it is. I'm a little generation. I'm still there. Okay. Millennial generation. You know, you look at some of the little kids today. I've seen 5, 4, 3, and 2-year-olds playing iPads better than most adults could ever figure out in their lifetime. You ever seen that? We have kids that know the terminology gigabyte. I talked to elementary kids that could talk me through a computer. They could take apart a computer and put it back together. I have talked to these kids. Technology permeates our lives. Computers are part of our lives. You know, smartphones. You know, I have an iPhone. I have it because you can get restrictions on that. So you can block the stuff on there. But I tell you what, technology is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. And I feel as though we've allowed technology, we've allowed the world to put its fingers into our life and turn off the lights. We've allowed that bushel, so to speak, in verse number 15, to clamp out the light of the gospel. When we have to go check out something on our iPhone or on our iPad or on our computer or iMac or iBook or Droid, or I don't know, throw it out there. I don't care what it is. Galaxy 3 and all this stuff. I don't care. They have all these new names for all the gadgets. They're all the same. It's technology. You know? It's great stuff. Okay, it's good stuff and used in the right way. But I tell you what, Satan is no dummy. He makes it so easy. He makes it so bottom shelf to access the garbage of this world. Let me ask you a question. How easy and how well would you think you would do if, say, that there was somebody out there that needed the gospel and you needed to shine your light to them, but you had the garbage of the world in your life? How easy is it to shine that light to them? It's not really easy at all, is it? You know, the Bible talks about, in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Paul is saying, children of God, wake up. You at one time were darkness. You at one time were controlled by the power of Satan. But now you're children of light. Jesus Christ lives inside of you. Live like it. Can I say it like that? Live like it. You know what? That's a challenge to me right now. If I walked out of this building and I walked into a store or into a workplace or I walked wherever I was going, would people know that man is a born-again believer? There's something different about him. Would I be shining forth? You know, this to hear the stories of Duncan Campbell when he went out on the streets as a young man and put a big sandwich board and basically preached the gospel as a sandwich board. I think people knew that man is different. He would go preach in the racetracks. He would go preach in the streets. You know, we don't, probably don't. You know, this, obviously the world moves too fast for some of those things today. But you know, are we willing to go out there and shine our light for Christ, or is the sin just clamp the light out? Or is it self? Sin and self is kind of the same thing. But sin, self, I'm telling you so much. Oh, man. They're going to think I'm an idiot. They're going to think I'm weird. No. There are people out there dying and going to hell. We need us to tell the stories we talked about. Tell the story about the precious blood of Jesus Christ. About the resurrection. Are we doing it? You hear it preached from this pulpit. You see it lived out. You see people get saved. I hear all the time from the people here at McGuanago, the students here, about how God's working. People bringing into people coming into the church and people getting saved. And I hear obviously at our church people getting saved. But are you doing it? You know, it's not just for the special few people. It's everybody, everybody on board, everybody out there, and not just on soul winning night or soul winning time. But being ready to give an answer, being ready to share the gospel. But we have that sin. What's the other problem with our light? Well, it's satanic opposition. A lot of times we like to blame it on Satan, don't we? But it's truly our fault sometimes. But you know, Satan does get in there. He does really do it. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Wrestle against what? Principalities, against powers, against wickedness, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We don't wrestle against a man. We wrestle against Satan. Tell you what, he's a powerful foe. I've experienced that a lot, even in these recent days. Satan is out to go after believers. He hates them. He hates them. Don't be fooled by that. But I tell you what, that opposition is there. The opposition is there, but we know we have the power of Christ who lives inside us. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But tell you what, let's not get hung up by the opposition of Satan. Let's go forward and shine that light. Let's talk about that power. Number one, we talk about the problem with our light. But number two, the power of our light. The power of our light. Look with me, please, in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We'll look at verse number 11 first. Verse number 11, Colossians chapter 1. Says, strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power. Look at me, please, in verse number 27 of the same chapter. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, everybody say this next three words with me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now let's think about this here, the word power and the whole concept of power behind the light. Let's say we, after we're done with the service, let's say, pick up a good person that you would know, Joel Roberts. Let's say Joel Roberts wanted to come up and clean this building for us, and Joel does a good job, and Joel's, I can pick on you, right, Joel? Yeah. Okay, good. All right, so Joel Roberts is going to come up here and clean this whole auditorium. His father wants him to do that, and be a good thing for him to do. And he's going to clean this auditorium, even though he's leaving at 4 o'clock in the morning. He still has to clean the auditorium. And here he is doing this, and let's say he has the vacuum cleaner out. I'm not sure what kind of vacuum cleaners you have here, but he has the vacuum out. And he's vacuuming away, and people are here still in the auditorium and kind of talking, and you notice there's no sound. You look up at Joel, and he's going at it. I mean, he's all over the stage. I mean, he's got this park corner. And you're like, hey, Joel. You ever thought about plugging that puppy in? No, it's okay, man. It'll work. The harder I push, the harder they'll come in. And you know, okay, I'm just picking on Joel here. But you know what? You would look at him and say, what in the world? Take the cord off and plug it in, right? Unless you have some kind of quiet, absolutely quiet, maybe you do, but, you know, quiet technology today. I mean, just little robots, you push them and they just clean the whole floor for you. That's nice. But, you know what I'm saying? You would look at Joel and say, what are you doing? It's crazy. You wouldn't try to vacuum something without plugging it in. Have you ever done that with your iron? I've done it multiple times, just sitting there ironing your shirt. Man, this is really wrinkled. You know, you're like, you look in the clock, it's clicking down time, and your wife walks by, you want to plug it in there? Or in our apartment, at the turn of the switch out. You know what I'm talking about? Switch the whole power thing out. I plug it in. It's all on, except for the power's not on. The power behind our light. You know what? A lot of times we don't plug in. And he's right inside of us. I'm telling you, it is an incredible opportunity that we have to have the power source behind our light living inside of us. But a lot of times, not trying to be irreverent, we don't plug into the power source. You know, it's a travesty when there's no power. You know, and I'm not a big fan of all this entails, but the Super Bowl, this last Super Bowl, I didn't watch it. I just heard the story of what happened. Did you hear what happened at the Super Bowl? The lights went out. Oops. They kept playing, right? No, they stopped. Why? Because the lights went out. It actually changed the course of the game. But the lights went out because the power source, and they had this investigation, and it kind of shamed the city of New Orleans. But the lights went out because the power source broke down. You know, tonight we're talking about the fact that we as Christians have the power source right there, and he doesn't break down. The problem is the plug-in, we're not putting the cord into the socket and accessing that power. And it's simply tonight by faith. In Galatians chapter 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You believe that tonight? Christ liveth in me. Don't raise your hand, but let me ask this question. How many of you in here are tired of doing it on your own? It's kind of hard to shine as a light when you're dark. You know, we do it on our own. There's no light shining. We so many times go out there and knock on doors. You know, brother, I'm faithful. I'm going to check that box off. I go out and knock on that door. And I've been there myself. You knock on that door, hope they're not there, put a track, keep going. Knock on that door, okay, brother, there we go. Okay, I'll visit you later. Okay, throw it on there. You almost turn into canvassing as you throw the thing on the door. You walk away, get in the car. Whew, I'm a spiritual man. Man, look at that. No, you're not. I've been there. I've done that. Even this year, I've done that. Where I was tired and I didn't want to go out stoning. Don't look at me like that. And do you know what I'm talking about? We all have the flesh. I was one step away from plugging into the power source. And instead of going and knocking on doors, hoping they're not home, going to that door, knocking on them, expecting them to be home, and expecting them to open their hearts to the gospel. That's just what we're talking about tonight. That's the light that we want to shine forth to this world. That's what this world needs. But we don't shine it so often. So we have this power. What's the purpose? Number three, and finally, what's the purpose for our light? Let's look back to Matthew chapter 5, please. Matthew chapter 5. Let's read all three verses again. It says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, what? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'll tell you what the purpose of our light is not to do. It's not to cover over. What it says here, we don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. We don't light a candle to cover it. It's because that's dumb. It's a waste of electricity. I mean, can you imagine? Here we are. We have all this light in here. Let's say Phil Raines, okay, he's assisting Brother Roberts. Let's say Phil Raines is in here covering over every light one by one with duct tape. It holds the world together. So he's one by one. And you look at Phil and you say, hey, Phil, what are you doing? And he said, we have a program coming up and we need to have the lights dark, so we're just going to duct tape all the lights down. Hey, Phil, there's a switch in the back. Just go like that. Oh, but, you know, duct tape is pretty cheap. You look at Phil and you think, you know, how many marbles you got left, buddy? Can I give you some more? They're real cheap down at the corner store, okay? It'd be foolish. Flip the switch on, flip the switch off. You know, you don't cover it over. That's not the purpose of it. You don't put lights on and then cover them over. You turn them on, keep them on, okay? It's very simple. It's a very bottom shelf truth. But so many times we have a light and we turn it off. We say, okay, I'm going to do this. No, the purpose of our light is to shine forth. What does verse 16 say? That the people of this world may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I would say it twofold here tonight from verse 16 I see. Number one is to direct people to Christ that are unsaved. Direct people to Christ that are unsaved. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that are dying and going to hell. Billions of them. I think we're up to 7 billion people in this world. There's a lot of people in this world that are dying and going to hell. We just heard about all of, you hear about the Pope being installed, and you hear about all these different religions and all these different things, and people are very religious and they do all their different things. But they don't know what it means to have Christ in their heart. Let me pause here for a moment and say, if you're here tonight, and I don't know a lot of you here, if you're here tonight and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, what Josh was talking about, what some of these songs were speaking about, was that Christ, 2,000 years ago, came to this earth as a man. The God of this universe came to earth as a man. And He died on the cross after living a perfect and sinless life. He died on the cross for you and for me. He took upon His shoulders the burden of sin of the whole world, not only now, but as all that's ever lived and all that will live. He took the burden of sin on his back, and He died for you. He shed His blood for you. And you know, tonight, you could say, well, I'm a good person. You know, I come to church here on a Sunday night. A lot of people don't do that. Sunday night, I've come to church. I'm here. I'm worshiping God. I give money to the church here. I do my good works. I do different things. I'm a community service person. You can name it. And you know what? You probably are a great person. There's a lot of people out here that are great people. And you know, I appreciate it. If you're a community, if you do a lot of community service, I appreciate that. If you go to church, it's a commendable thing. You give money to a church, a commendable thing. But you know what? That's not going to get you to heaven. Not get you to heaven. It's not going to get you one step closer to heaven, because there is only one way. It's Jesus Christ. You say, well, that sounds a little exclusive. No. It's pretty simple. In my mind, it's not exclusive. It's pretty simple. You know, sometimes I get a little bogged down with details. If there's one door, it's pretty simple to walk right through one door. But sometimes we get so many other things. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the way. And tonight, if you're here and you're unsaved, Jesus Christ, standing here with arms wide open. The Jesus Christ, the man who died on the cross for your sins and who broke the power of sin and of death when He rose from the dead, why we celebrate Easter, He's standing here with arms wide open, full of love for you, with that free gift of salvation. And you know, tonight, you can't earn it. You can't buy it. But you can take it by faith. It's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. If you're here tonight and you do not know Christ as your Savior, I beg of you, and we will have a time after this service, there's people all around you that would be happy to share. I myself, Pastor Roberts, any of these college students, many people in this church, be happy to share that precious news of the gospel with you. I'll tell you what, it changed my life. And it changed the ones in here that have accepted Christ as their Savior. It's changed theirs too. And it could change yours tonight. But you know, Christian, that's our number one purpose for the light. To shine, show others, to shine the light so others can go to Christ. You know, think about it. Christ chooses us, earthen vessels, clay, human, to take His gospel and shine to the world. You know, I see on the Simonson here. I see it's the rains here going to Kenya also. I see obviously with these students here, many young people that are going into missions. And I see people in this place that I know are lights that are shining forth. Pastor Roberts here in this town and leading this church forward. I know other men around this country, but I'm telling you, we're all clay. We're all human. It's an amazing thought to see what God has done to use us. But it's an opportunity. It's an incredible opportunity. But not only that, it's also an opportunity to shine our light, to show believers what Christ can do through your life. You know, I think this is a world in which we live, believers are getting discouraged. You think? You know, we're looking at a world in which perversion is normal. Or if you don't accept it, you're not normal. You know, I don't hate anybody in this world. I really don't. But I hate sin. And if God calls it sin, I hate it. I don't hate anybody. I love people that God has given me an opportunity to minister to. But I tell you what, we've accepted the world's way of thinking, or if we haven't accepted it, we've been discouraged. I tell you what, tonight's the night to shine that light, to show believers that there is a hope that tonight, that Christ can work in and through our lives. You believe that? You believe that tonight? You know, we live in the north so many times, and so many times we get a little stoic about these things. God can work tonight. Praise the Lord for what He has done. Christ rose from the dead so we could be lights for Him around. We heard a story this morning about Simon Peter, the man who denied Christ and turned around just a little bit later and was preaching the gospel, and thousands were saved at Pentecost. That could be anybody in this room. Couldn't that be? Yes, it could be. Because what a Christ did, an incredible thought. There's a young girl who once consulted with her minister. She said, "I can't stick it out any longer. I am the only Christian in the factory where I work. I get nothing but taunts and sneers. It's more than I can stand. I'm going to resign." "Well, you tell me," said the minister, "where lights are placed." "What does that to do with it?" the young Christian girl asked him, rather bluntly. "Oh, never mind," the minister said. "Answer my question. Where are lights placed?" "I suppose in dark places," she replied. "Yes, and that is why you have been put in that factory, where there is such spiritual darkness, and there is no other Christian to shine for the Lord." The young Christian realized for the first time the opportunity that was hers. She felt she could not fail God by allowing her light to go out. She went back to the factory with renewed determination to let her light shine in that dark corner before long. She was the means of leading 9 other girls to the Lord. Is your light shining tonight? Or are you like that aircraft carrier? Blackout. Their souls circling around, about to pitch off into a Christless eternity. All they need to be saved is that one light. Will you be that one light tonight? Or will you be as that radio operator? Turn off the switch and allow them to die. Not trying to be sensational tonight or be over the top. Just think about it. If it was you in that airplane, would you want a light? I would. I'm not fond of swimming in the North Atlantic Ocean. If there's somebody here tonight, or somebody out there that you know, people around this world are looking for one light, and you can be that tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your truth, Lord, which you have presented very clearly in your word. We thank you so much for the hearts of these people here tonight. Lord, thank you for the work you've done in my heart tonight. Lord, I pray that we would not just speak about it, preach about it, but live it. Lord, we would see souls saved in our own life, through our own lives, not because of us, Lord, because of your power and your light shining through us. Well, thank you for what you're going to do. As we have our heads bowed, Lord, I just want to ask one simple question. This is not for me. This is not for me. Actually, I want to ask 2 questions. Not for me, this is for between you and the Lord. You would say, "Brother Daniel, tonight God has dealt in my heart just a simple message about light, shining your light for Christ." You'd say, with upraised hand, not for me to look around and point you out, but just to pray for you, you'd say, "Brother Daniel, I am not that light. And God has worked in my heart tonight. I need to be just as that those guys were asking for that one light. God has put in my heart tonight some people, maybe not just a specific person, but generally, I got to be that light for those people in my workplace, my family." You say, "God has dealt in my heart. Tonight, I want to be the light for Him. I want to let Him shine. And I'm willing to let whatever is in the way, I'm willing to take care of it." It's a big thing, but it's pretty simple. Take that step. You say, "Tonight, God's working in my heart." Without praise hand, I acknowledge that. Anybody here tonight? Amen. Amen. Across the room, amen. Anybody else would say, "God's working in my heart. God's working in my heart." Anybody else? Amen. You know, tonight, maybe you'd say, "Brother Daniel, you were talking about this, you know, sounded great, whatever. But that middle part you talked about, knowing Him as a personal Savior and Josh's testimony and some of these songs, they didn't register with me. I don't know what they're talking about. You say, Brother Daniel, tonight, I have no idea. If I wouldn't die tonight, I don't have assurance. Now I'd say maybe 93%, 95%. Maybe I just don't have any percent. I don't know at all. I really have no clue. Say tonight, Brother Daniel, I do not know that I'm on my way to heaven. I am not for sure. And tonight, I would like to know that. Anybody here? I'll pray, say, and say, I would like to know. Anybody here across this room and say, Lord, that would want the Lord to show you how the Lord could save you tonight. Anybody here at all? You know, if you are here tonight and maybe you feel ashamed to raise your hand or you're maybe a little nervous to raise your hand, the invitation is never closed. There's always somebody here that can talk to you. But you know what? Don't stiff arm the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, don't stiff arm the Lord. The time for salvation is now. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for what you're going to do in this time. Thank you for the hearts that are open to you. We'll thank you for what you will do. I pray that you would continue to work in our lives even during this invitation time. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.